This is Victory House.
The God of miracle has been busy in the month of July, and I hope he has been visiting you. Amen?
Amen.
I've had some really, really amazing testimony. I don't know, maybe on Sunday they'll be able to feature some of them. Amazing. Just God showing up for his people, God delivering his people, God doing miracles. And God is about to do that for you too.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And then we'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 9 from verse 1 to verse 7. This evening I'll be speaking on what I call from nothing to something. Can somebody say it out loud? Say from nothing to something. Say it loud and clear. Say, I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. I am a miracle going somewhere to happen. Say, I carry something. That thing will find expression in the name of Jesus. If you are not pregnant with a baby, you still carry something. Amen.
Amen.
I know God is doing amazing work in our midst. This year we are celebrating a lot of babies. Amen.
Amen.
And just so you know, there are more babies to come. Amen.
Amen.
There are some people, they don't even know they are pregnant, but the baby is already there. Amen. I feel it because I just sense that some baby must register their name somewhere in the year 2018. Amen. So there are still some babies, at least the pregnancy, we will have them in this year.
Amen.
Can we say a bigger amen to that?
Amen.
Because you know, I've said it before that evangelism is not only possible by you win somebody to Christ. You can give birth. It's biological evangelism. That's what Islam is doing. And we, children of God too, we need to do some level of biological evangelism. Because that's one of the surest evangelism. At least for the most part of the children, 18, 17 years, they will follow you. Right? They will come to church. Even some of them will want to fight later on, but at least when they are within your house, they will follow you to church. That's 17 years of having a convert to bring to church. That's a lot of good evangelism right there. But I know our children, not after 17 years, they will still be doing church.
Amen.
They will still be serving God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. All right, let's read 2 Samuel chapter number 9 from verse 1. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? It's as if God is saying, is there anyone still expecting and knowing that there is still miracle in July that will receive it? If that person can shout a big hallelujah, they get it right now. So David said, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 2. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Verse number 4. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he's at the house of Makai, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Verse number 5. So King David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Makai, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Verse number 7. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Can I prophesy to somebody? Surely there will be restoration.
Amen.
Surely your inheritance is coming to you.
Amen.
Now. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse 1, it said, David was asking a question. That is there anybody in the house of Jonathan that I will show mercy to? Is there anybody in the house, from the house of Saul, from the family of Saul, that I will show mercy to? Now, you need to understand this story a little bit. Saul was supposedly David's boss. Saul, David took over from Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. David was the second king. David took over from Saul. But Saul was not kind to David. Saul was cruel to David. So this particular statement was very, very instrumental and very key that David will be saying, is there anybody from the house of Saul? I want to show them kindness. Though anybody from the house of Saul should not enjoy my kindness. They should enjoy wrath. They should enjoy something different. But I'm going to show them kindness. Because of Jonathan. I'm speaking to somebody. I don't care what you deserve. I don't care where you stand. I don't care what you merit. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what the medical report says. But I stand in the name of Jesus, the modern day Jonathan. I declare because of that Jesus, because of the new Jonathan, because of the original Jonathan, because that first Jonathan is a type of the real Jonathan. I declare because of Jesus, that thing that you don't qualify for, you receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I know there are times that we don't merit things. There are times that under the law, you should be punished like this. There are times that under the law, you should receive a kind of recompense. But I know that because of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, you can ride on the merit of Jesus. You can go on the credit of Jesus. Even in the natural, sometimes they will say, somebody should co-sign for you. Jesus has co-signed for somebody this evening. You are riding on his wings. And I declare mercy will speak for you in the name of Jesus. So you need to understand that 2 Samuel chapter 9 did not start from 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9 actually started from 1 Samuel chapter 20. It was when Jonathan and David met. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people where they stand today. Their past is influencing their present. But I say loud and clear that every negative past that is influencing your present negatively, I reverse that past in the name of Jesus. Because the past can hold people down. The past can hold people down. Now, in fact, that's why people talk about background. Because where you started from can keep your back on the ground. Where you began from, your start, sometimes what you didn't know about, sometimes decisions that you didn't know about. Now, in this case, it was favorable to Mephibosheth, but there was a covenant. There was an agreement. There was a covenant that had been entered into between two people that will be binding on generations that were not yet born. There are people listening to me today. Some of the things that you suffer, some of the things that you experience is beyond you. It dates back to before you. And I stand in the name of Jesus that anything that is negative that is speaking against you, I nullify it in the name of Jesus. In fact, I want you to bow down your heads and I want you to pray this loud and clear. Say, in the name of Jesus, every past that is affecting my present negatively, I invalidate you in the name of Jesus. Let our prayer sound to heaven now. Narusha Pradegadoska. Lerima Mbratokataya. Every past speaking against my present. Lekruma Shatelenandia. Yana Sadaya. I invalidate you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Now understand that your parents' past may also be your past. That means your past too may also be the present later or be part of the present of your children. That's why as a parent, I believe that you need to utter words into your present. You need to utter words and reconfigure things in the present. Because sometimes when you don't fix some things, your children will do that battle again. And I've said before that I believe the responsibility of every parent is to make the present better for their children. I believe that you should be a pace setter. I believe that your children should not go through the same thing. I think it's your responsibility for you to say that you want your children to learn the lessons of life, for them to suffer the things that you have suffered. You can tell them with words, because people can learn by you telling them. They don't have to go and suffer the same thing. You don't have to, you know, They don't have to suffer the same thing. Like I tell some people that some things that I went through that some people call, you know, experiences of schooling and all of that. I'm like, no. I don't want my children to go through this kind of thing because I really didn't learn anything from them. It was just suffering. You know, so some people think, yeah, you learn. No, I didn't. I can tell them, in so school that I went to, I didn't eat for too long. I can tell them that. And if I tell them, I hope they understand. I don't need to carry them into that same experience and say, okay, be in a situation where you don't eat. Why would you not eat? I mean, if you want to fast, but don't not eat because there's no food. Or because the food is so terrible and so poor, because I went to school, boarding school, and some people think that is training a child, and then in the place they give you food, when you see the soup, or is it soup we call it now? that they give to add to some other things that you need to eat, the soup is not different from water. And then they give meats like, you know, I mean, I don't even know what to, you know, it's like, you know, like dice. I don't know how you, and it's human beings that cut. I don't know how they cut that kind of meat and they don't cut their hands. Because it's so small, it's so tiny, it's almost evil. Like, how can you do this? Do you make it so small that, because you can't chew it. You know the kind of meat? Have you seen those kind of meat before? You cannot, if you throw it in your mouth, even if you try to chew it, you bite your tongue. Because it will just go in. It's so tiny. It's just a strand. I can't now say that, you know, I want my children to learn the things of life, then get them into that kind of condition. God forbid. Will you say God forbid?
God forbid.
For your children, say God forbid.
God forbid.
In the name of Jesus. So I believe that even you as a parent, you should be speaking to your present, especially present and some past that you can remember that is negative, and say they won't speak over your children. If you have a child, and if you don't have a child, I want you to say this loud and clear. If you know their names, mention their name. Say, in the name of Jesus, mention their name, mention their name. If you don't have a child yet, mention a name that you believe you use it to connect to your children. Mention their name. Go ahead, mention their name. Say, in the name of Jesus. You, my son, you, my daughter, I declare every negative past of mine will not speak in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So the past can be holding people down. There are good past. Even no matter how good a past is, the present should be better. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous is like a shining light. It shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So the present should be better. But another thing we can see in this story, that the fact that the story started from 1 Samuel chapter 20 instead of starting from 2 Samuel chapter 9, is that I can still fulfill all promises. The promises of God, if you wake up to it, you can cash it anytime. You know, when you get a check, they will say it's valid for 60 days. Can I tell you this? The promises of God is valid forever. If you get it today and you take it with you, you can still cash it today. Can somebody say amen to that? That's very liberating, because there are some old promises. There are some things God has said concerning you. There are some things God has said concerning me. I am not walking in them yet. And some of them, maybe I should have been walking in them before now. But I have good news for you. It is not too late. Will you look at your neighbor and say, it's not too late? Say, it's not too late. Because sometimes the devil is very skillful. He tries to tell us, it's too late. It's too late. Sometimes when you talk to some people, they say, it's too late. My children will do that. Who told you that? It's not too late, sir. Some of you can still do that business. I was pleasantly impressed with one of our senior friends. This man had been very successful in IT, but somehow he knew that he was going to be a doctor. I think it was in his 40s, almost 50, he went to medical school. Today he's a doctor. So it's not too late. Amen? Look at somebody, say, it's not too late. I was listening to a story, was it yesterday or the other day, on the radio. They were talking about a woman who graduated from college for the first time. She was in her 80s. And when they were telling her that, wow, how do you feel graduating from college in your 80s? She told them that, my mother told me that, make sure you finish your college. Make sure you finish your college degree. And she said, I wanted to make sure I do what my mother said. So the person told her, I said, wow, your mother will be so proud of you. She said, she's very proud of me. She's there. She's looking at me. She was still alive. She still did it. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's not too late. Say, I will become what God has planned for me. In the name of Jesus. So who told you it's past your time? Who told you the baby can't come yet? Who told you are too old? You know, sometimes people have all this kind of definition of time. They tell you this has to happen at a particular time. I remember several years ago, before I entered college, for some reason I felt that I was too old. And then all my friends, I some of us played when we were supposed to be reading. And so it took me a while to enter college. And I thought everybody had gone to college. I thought everybody was in, you know, doing everything. So sometimes I used to be very shy to hang around people because I felt that I was very, very backward. But when I graduated from college, I found out that there were still many of my friends that were still in college. Some of them were even still trying to enter college. Now, some of you may not understand what that sounds like because some of you might have experienced too much of American life, you know, but sometimes in some parts of the world, college looks like going to heaven. Oh. Well, it looks very complicated for some people. Heaven is not meant to be complicated. I don't know what example I can use, but college is a big deal sometimes, you know. But I found out that I wasn't late. I want to tell somebody this evening, you are not too late. God is still on your side. In the name of Jesus. Bow down your heads again and say this prayer. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare every delay I've experienced in my life gives way to accelerated progress. In the name of Jesus. Pray like you mean it. Every delay I've experienced academically, financially, I receive acceleration in the name of the Lord. Malus kataya, marigadarabosha. There can be a catch up. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.
You see, some of these prayers that we are praying, don't casualize it. Some of you need to note it down. Pray it now, pray it later. Because you see, there is catching up in God. There is acceleration in God. There is something that happens where lost time, you recover them. Lost ground, you recover them. In this story of Mephibosheth that we are reading, the Bible said Mephibosheth was from the family of Saul. By reason of family connection, is a royal blood. He should be enjoying royalty. In fact, in the analysis of a royalty, he is supposed to be an heir to the throne. Now, an heir to the throne was living like a pauper, was living beneath the dignity of what God had made originally for him. But there was a catching up. That's why you pray that prayer, that let there be acceleration. And I'm believing for you that in the month of August, or from now till month of August, there will be an acceleration. There will be a catching up. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God catches people up. Have you not heard stories of people who didn't give birth for a long time and suddenly they gave birth to three? One time, bam, like that. And some of their mates had given birth to one. So they caught up lost ground. One delivery. And some people look for a job for so long and the first job they get like this, bam, to the top of the ladder. I'm praying for somebody that there will be acceleration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I want you to believe for acceleration, even in career. Oh, it's not everybody that needs to climb the ladder. You know, some people talk about corporate ladder. There's elevator, amen?
Yes.
There are corporate elevators. You don't have to climb the stairs. You don't have to climb the ladder. God can lift up. The Bible says God is the judge. He lifted up one, he can bring up down another. So I pray for you, God will lift you up.
Amen.
I want you to begin to see God lifting you up. You know, I've been hearing this in my spirit. I believe God wants to put people in big, big positions. C-level positions.
Amen.
Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I've been telling my wife, C-level. Yeah. They didn't make it for people that are not like you. The people that are there, they're not human beings. Why can't you be there? Well, some people say, well, it's not about experience. I mean, I'm not belittling experience. But I'm telling you that some of the people that are there, there's nothing big deal about them. Most of the thing they used to make decisions, other people do it for them. They just pass the report to them and then they make few notes and then make some few comments and that's what they are doing. As I see God lifting somebody up in this new month in the name of Jesus. So the Bible said, David said, I want to show somebody favor. But that favor did not start with David. Did not start that day. it started before. I'm praying for you. It's good things that your parents have worked for. Good things that have you yourself have worked for. But the reward has not come. It will be compounded and sent to you right now. In the name of Jesus. God is a God of compound interest. You remember the story of Mordecai in the book of Esther? The Bible said Mordecai had done something good. But somehow it seemed it had been forgotten. But God knows how to revisit old things, bring it up in a fresh way, and make it relevant in the now. There are some things some of you have done before. You work with somebody, you said something, you were faithful in a particular assignment, and there was a reward that needed to come, but you have not enjoyed it. I say you will enjoy it in this season. In the name of Jesus. So David said, is there anybody? Is there anybody going into the month of August that I will show kindness, that I will put something upon, that I will make sure that when they show up, something shows up on their behalf? I see you as that person. In the name of Jesus. Then in verse 2, the Bible says, and they said to him, there is a zebra. They said, there is a zebra. And then before you knew it, zebra showed up. My prayer for you is that the right voices will show up. Amen. On your behalf. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, in life, many of the consequential issues, many of the things that become binding on us, many of the times we are not there. Many times when they want to hire, promote, demote, retrench, give, is it pink letter? Or pink envelope? Pink slip? Most of the time when those discussions are happening, the people that need to be in that discussion, they are not there. Most of the time, the only person that really, really needs to be there is not there. The person that has the issue, he's not there to defend himself. They are making decisions over him and he's not there. But blessed be God that the zebra will speak for you. Amen. I declare that wherever the zebras are, on your behalf, they will speak in this season. Ah, there are voices that will speak. They will say, no, let's not do it like that. They will not start fighting for you. That's what happened to Joseph. Many people thought it was the butler that first spoke up for Joseph. No, it was first Reuben. Because before the butler could speak up for Joseph, Joseph was not supposed to be sold, you know. The brother said, let us kill him. But a zebra in a Reuben spoke up. Something from Reuben. And you know, Reuben is not a very reliable guy. He's the firstborn, but that's all about it. Because Reuben is very unstable. In fact, when his father was going to pray for him, he said, you are stable as water. Unstable as water. You are just always fluctuating. But for some reason, something entered Reuben. And Reuben spoke the right word. Every Reuben in your life, or every Reuben sent to your life that should speak for you, something will enter them. And they will speak the right words. In the name of Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 37, where Joseph was sold, in verse 21, they had said, let us kill him. Reuben just spoke up. He said, no. Let us not what? Take his life. I declare that in the name of Jesus, where you are not appearing in legal matters, in financial matters, in matters that have to do with your career, a voice like Reuben will speak up for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen to that. Amen. So every one of us, we need zebras. People that will speak up for us. People that will stand up for us. They don't need to know us. Something will just come upon them. They will just decide they will speak up for us. They will just decide they will defend us. Because that defense means a lot. That defense matters a lot. I have been a beneficiary of many of discussions that I was not privy to, but it was later I found out that it was one person that spoke up for me. It was one person. It was one zebra. The guy just spoke up for me. The guy just decided that I would do something for that guy. I don't know why they did it, but something came upon them and they did what they had to do. I declare, I don't know how it will happen. I don't know what needs to happen, but something is coming upon somebody. They will not rest until they do what God has told them. In the name of Jesus. In fact, bow down your ears and say this prayer. Say, in the name of Jesus, every zebra assigned to my life, arise and speak for me in this season. In the name of Jesus. Speak for me at work. Speak for me at school. Speak for me concerning that project. In the name of the Lord. Lady Debosha. Every ziba. Etela dosha kaprane gadole baraka tesiga ladari aleluya. Lekre kotosianda. That has been assigned for my life. Begin to speak now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. So I want you to be conscious of zebras. I want you to be conscious of that. When you go for employment interview, don't just be thinking about skill alone. Be thinking of the zebra that will speak up. Because really, when it comes to things like employment, things like getting a particular thing, legal, some of these things is just decisions. Some of you that are in this room, some of you had gone to visa offices before. Tell me, how do they really determine who they give visa? There's no, in my view, it's very subjective. The visa officer determines who he thinks is saying the truth. And there are some people, what they show you, even you, that you are not a visa officer, you know this is not true. Or you know this is, I mean, even if it is true, it's hard to convince me that this is true. But the guy will now believe it. In fact, there are people that have gone for some of these interviews that it is the interviewer that will be telling them what to do. I've told you some of this. I'm sure some of you have heard this story before. When I went to do a Microsoft interview, one of the persons interviewing me, he gave me a code to write. And I wrote the code. And I, in fact, before he gave, by the time he was telling me what to do, I knew, God, you just have to do a miracle here, because this whole thing that this guy is asking me to do, I really do. But I stepped off as a child of God, you know, boldly. And I moved toward the chalkboard because he gave me a marker. He said, you know, I should write the steps for the program on the screen, on the board. So I took it and I started, and I was saying what I was doing. Let's say, I mean, sometimes you need to be confident in your God, amen. So I was writing like, you know, I will get to somewhere. So I got to somewhere where I hooked. And I just looked at the guy and said, ah. And then somebody had come into the office and I was like, time is going that it should be rounding up, because it was interview. It was a whole day interview. You had to interview with several people. And he was one of the people. So they were telling me that it's about time for me to move to another place. So I just, when the person came in, I just told him, I said, I'm so sorry that, can you help me? Can you imagine, you are doing an interview, somebody asks you a question, and you say, you have answered the question to a point, and you say, by the way, can you answer the question? And the guy obliged. He took the marker, came to the board, and started writing. I need to go to a point, and I said, by the way, I don't know what's going on. And he was looking like that. But God was using him as a zebra. Amen. So I was not telling, I was apologizing to him and saying, I'm sorry. He said, no, don't apologize. Even me, I couldn't get it. I was like, we are in the same boat. Amen. You cannot say that I didn't do it. I bet, I don't know how they did that meeting, because, you know, to show you that it was a zebra situation. When I finished, I went to the recruiter. The recruiter said, how did it go? I said, it went well. So that evening, the recruiter told me that she thinks they like me. But you see, between that, she thinks they like me, and when they eventually told me that I had the offer, it took a while. Because that night, some of my friends, because I met some friends in Seattle then, we went to Buka the Purple. I don't know if you guys know Buka the Purple. If you don't know Buka the Purple, you should know it. It's a good joint. Amen. You eat a lot of, they do spaghetti and meatballs. Where are the kids? They do, but their meatballs are big meatballs. You know, they are. Some people are getting ideas now. Okay. So we had gone to eat in Buka the Pebble, and some of my friends, they had given them the offer. So we were celebrating. We went to eat to celebrate. But the only thing me I had was that the recruiter said she thinks they like me. But these people, they didn't tell them she thinks they like them. They are giving them a confirmation that, yeah, we've taken it. I think and I believe I probably didn't get that stuff. Maybe it is my friend, the zebra, that missed it. That said, no. This guy knows it, because what I gave him, both of us didn't get it. And the guy spoke up for me. I declare over you, your zebras will arise. Amen. They will speak up for you. Amen. In this season. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads again and say, in the name of Jesus, where I can't get to, where I can't speak in, let there be favorable voices
there for me.
In the name of Jesus. Will you tell God that where I can't get to, where I can't speak? Let there be voices that will speak in my favor. They will speak for me. They will fight my battle. They will stand up for me. They will defend me there. You, the God of the defenseless, Lord, you raise up voices, legal voices, marital voices, financial voices, all kind of voices for me in the season. In the name of Jesus, let it be, O God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Some of you have heard that there are men that have gifts. But have you heard about the gifts of men? The gift of men. It's a gift that you should crave God to send to give you. Not just make you a gifted man, but God send you men as gifts. Men as gifts. Because you see, the connection to the palace many times is a human being. It's a human being. Some people, they say, well, God can lift me up. God can do me things. But God has chosen to do you things through men, sir. Through men. God uses, when you say, God, I give unto you. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it what? It shall be given unto you. Who will be the giving unto you? Who will do the giving? You think it's God? It's God, but will he put the money in your pocket, like literally? No, he will use men. He may use your boss to promote you. He may use somebody to bless you. He may use somebody to recommend you. But he will use men. So you and I, we need the gift of men. We need men as gift. Sometimes when you are going into a new month, you may be asking God, send me somebody. Send me a gift as a man. Send me a gift as a woman. Send me somebody that will speak for me. Send me somebody that will do for me what I can't do for myself. Because you see, in life, it is not a matter of how much you struggle. It's a matter of how much help you receive. How much help you receive. There are many people, you have seen their success. You hear a lot about them. But really, if you hear their story, their success is a human being. I've read many church history story of church boom, church growth. Many, many, many times, the church growth is not necessarily even traceable to the person that you people are seeing. It's one person that you don't know. It's somebody that just came into that system, somebody that partnered with that pastor that took things to the next level. Some of you have heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody used to be an evangelist here in Chicagoland. D.L. Moody is a very popular name. But D.L. Moody, there were many people like Ira Sankey. There were many people around him. In fact, there was one guy that used to sing for him. Those were the people that took the work and spread it all over. But many people hear of D.L. Moody. But God send him gift of men. My prayer for you as you move into August, you will enjoy the gift of men. I say you will enjoy the gift of men. Will you say this loud and clear and pray this loud? Say in the name of Jesus, in this season, I receive the gift of men. Men work for me. Men speak for me. In the name of Jesus. Will you make that your prayer? I receive the gift of men in the month of August. Lord, send me men. Send me women. Men that will work with me. Men that you have sent to enhance my destiny. That will speak for me. In the name of Jesus. Let it happen, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. So you see, the journey from nothing to something often works like what we have been saying now. It starts from a past that you don't know. And if that past is visited and that past is fixed, you start moving from nothing. You start moving into something. And many times, it will require somebody to speak. It will require voices. It will require a pastor. It will require a voice. I've told you this story before. That one time, some years ago, I believed something that a teacher said or something that the teacher implied that I was not smart. And because of that, I was incapacitated. But by the gift of men, another woman, it was a woman, that teacher was a woman. And another woman, she didn't even speak to me. She just spoke to my parents and she said, she thinks I'm a very smart person. She's the wife of our general overseer. Mommy, we usually call her Mommy Gio. She told my parents that I'm a very smart person. And so when my parents came and they told me that, I felt like, wow. Huh? If this woman of God says I'm smart, maybe God showed it to her.
You know how kids sometimes think? And I believed it. May you believe something good about yourself that will push you into your next level. I just believed it. The other thing that woman implied, I believed it too. And it was a lie of the devil. Now I believed something. God sent that woman as a gift to me. And you know what happened to me? In a space of one year, my results changed. In fact, when I was leaving that school, I got awards. Because somebody said, I think this guy is good. I declare you experience the gift of men. In this new month, you're going to. In the name of Jesus. So in verse 3, the Bible says, and Mephibosheth was lame. Mephibosheth was lame. This guy, his mobility had been impaired. This guy was not moving. I hope you know that the plan of God is not for you to be stagnant. I hope you understand that there is no good that you have experienced that God wants that to be your ultimate. I hope you understand that the best has not yet happened. I hope you understand that your best years are not in the past. I hope you understand that though God has been good to you in the past, God can be better to you in the now. I hope you understand that you should not be talking about the good old year. You can talk about the good and better now years. And I declare concerning you, there is a switch, there is a change on your behalf. In the name of Jesus. So God does not want us to be stagnant. He wants us to grow. He wants us to move. He wants us to enjoy more. He wants this year to be better than last year. He wants August to be better than July. If you have experienced good things in the month of January to July, He wants August to be better than that. So don't relax. Don't be lame. Don't, in any area of your life, don't be lame. Because every stagnant water begins to what? Stink. You will not stink. Amen. I say you will not stink. Amen. So be desirous of mobility. Be desirous of advancement. Desirous of advancement in your spiritual life. Desirous of advancement in your marital life. Don't think that this is the best your marriage can be. Be desirous for more. This marriage can be better. Be desirous for more. This job, I can enjoy it better. Be desirous for more. My health can be better. Don't settle on any good thing that you have experienced. And if you are experiencing any bad thing, in fact, the more you should not settle. Don't take it as your cross. Some people relax these things. They begin to take things as their own. They personalize issues. They personalize problems. They think it will always become like that. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long it has been. I don't care how long you have known it. It can change. I say it can change. In fact, let me say it will change for the better in the name of Jesus. There is nothing, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter how long it is. I love that scripture you read, sir. Psalm 30 and verse 5. It says, weeping may endure for a night. He says, it's possible for weeping to have lasted for a night. He said, but joy cometh. I declare over somebody, joy cometh. Amen. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen. Amen. So weeping can last for as long as it has lasted for. But can I tell you, weeping is not the only thing that will stay. Weeping can have stayed for quite some time, but joy is coming. Amen. So you look at that, you should tell it, joy is coming. Look at that matter, say joy is coming. Look at that matter, say joy is coming. Look at that issue, say joy is coming. And you know, when you were reading that scripture, I thought to myself, I said, is it possible that if I get joy, that weeping can stop? You don't get it. If the issue has not even changed, but I start rejoicing, I start precipitating the atmosphere, I start rehearsing the morning. Can rejoicing change the season? Can rejoicing change the timing? If I'm in my night season, can I begin to rejoice and I jump into my morning season? Because some people are waiting for the morning to come, but the morning is waiting for the joy to come so that the morning will come. I declare over you, it's your season of rejoicing. So you know what I want you to do as we are moving into August? Begin to rejoice. Begin to rehearse it. What about that baby? How will you dance that dance? How will you dance when God has done it? What are you going to do? Are you going to wear a particular dress? You know, me, I don't know about you. This is how I do for Sundays. Many Sundays. I see myself in a particular suit. So I don't waste time.
this is what I saw. That I, whoa, and I enter into it. Because it's like, that is the one that will pay me for that dancing of that Sunday. Amen. So I don't know about you. When that good thing happens to you, how are you going to look like? What are you going to do? What song are you going to sing? I remember when I was going to get married, I knew the song I was going to sing. I wrote it down that this song, I will sing this song. There's no devil that will make me sing this song. I remember when they gave me the mic like this and they said, vote of thanks. I just remembered my song and I sang my song because I'd already rehearsed my song. I'd been rehearsing the song when the devil was making everything look like this marriage won't happen because it was, I was going to get married and job ceased. There was no job. I told my wife, leave England, come to the United States. Now she was coming to meet the guy in the United States and there's no job. And I'm telling her to leave her job. But I had already planned my song. So I still sang my song. The day I was even singing that my song, it wasn't in America, it was in Nigeria. I remember that some of the things in my head will be telling me that, what this song you are, because I was, the song is another language song that says, my own issue, my own matter, is worth thanking God for, is worth celebrating God for. And I think some things were telling me, what is your own matter? What is all about you that is worth celebrating? You, this jobless married man, that you are firing your wife, you will eat something else apart from food. But I had rehearsed my song. And because I had rehearsed my song, my night must give way to my morning. I declare over somebody, your night gives way to your morning. In the name of Jesus. So instead of you weeping in the night, because you see, that weeping and night, they go together. As long as the weeping continues, the night will be endless. But when the joy comes, the morning comes. If you can praise God, if you can sing in your night, your morning will come. Remember Paul and Silas, they were in their midnight hour. The Bible said it was midnight, but they sang praises unto God. Midnight switched. There's a switch happening for somebody. In the name of Jesus. Mephibosheth was lame, but God wants us to move. God also don't want, He doesn't want us to stay in the past. He doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want us to coast. Whether it's a good past, whether it's a bad past, God wants you to move. The word of God to somebody this morning, this evening, you can take it as morning, amen? It's a prophetic morning, amen? Yeah. The word of God to you in this season is move. Look at your neighbor, say move. Say to your neighbor, say move. Don't be too calculative, move. Some of you, move. Move concerning that business idea. Move. Move concerning that phone call. Move. Move concerning doing the research and finding more information about that thing that God. Move. Don't stay there. Don't wait there, because many times when people wait, they waste. There are some people saying, we're waiting on God. And God is like, if you only knew, I'm waiting for you. I'm ready. I've been waiting for you to take a step. Many, many miracles will not happen until you get moving. The miracle is in the moving. The miracle is in the motion. The miracle is in mobility. If you stay there, you will not experience the miracle. And that's why my prayer for you this evening or this morning, whatever you call it, is that in the name of Jesus, everything limiting your movement gives way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say it loud, very loud and clear, and turn it into a prayer. Say in the name of Jesus, I will not be delayed. I will not be deterred. I will not be denied. In the name of Jesus. Not delayed, not deterred, not denied. Lekabosa, Yinando Shakambra Dagila Dokoringa Lambrodosi Galaya. We are not delayed. We are not denied. In the name of Jesus. Yes, every form of delay, give way now. Every form of denial, give way now. In the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed.
Amen.
So from nothing to something. From no miracle to a lot of miracles. From a year that looks very boring. Because some of us, this year has been very uneventful. Not too much has happened. But God is taking you places.
Amen.
I say God is taking you places. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So the Bible said in verse 4, 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 4. Then they say, where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered. He's at the house of Micaiah, the son of Hamir, in Lodibar. In Lodibar. The word Lodibar means nothing. It means empty. It means useless. So look at this royalty.
look at this child of a king. Look at this next king. Because in many cultures, they call the children of the king tomorrow's king. That's what they call them. Look at tomorrow's king now in nothing. Look at tomorrow's king now in empty. There are many children of God that where they are right now is nothing. Where they are right now is Lodabar. But I speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I declare from nothing you move to something. From nothing you move to many. From empty you move to plenty. From empty you move to full. From the land of nothing you move to the land of plenty. If you say bigger amen, it comes faster. So God knows how to take people from nothing to something. You know, on Sunday, I started saying, there it is, that there is a seed of miracle in your house. Very true. But there are sometimes God creates it from the scratch. There's nothing. It didn't start. It didn't work from anything. I mean, the creation, where did creation come from? Where did it come from? Where were they before? God just spoke out. He spoke everything you and I see today from nothing. And he's still doing the same today. He can still take somebody from nothing to something. You know, I used to write this in my email back in the day. I don't know, some of the people that used to get my email back in the day. I said, when you are down to nothing, remember that God is up to something. Look at your neighbor. Say, when you are down to nothing, remember that God is up to something. Will you touch your chest and say, I am a miracle going somewhere to happen. I am a sign. I am a wonder to my generation. Can you stand up and say it again? Say, I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen in the name of Jesus. Can you prophetically walk around? Say, I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. I am a sign. I am a wonder in the name of Jesus. I declare everywhere I go to, I bring something good in the name of Jesus. I am not empty. I am loaded. Say, I am too loaded to be stranded. I carry God. I carry something. I am loaded and needed in my generation. I declare my world will receive my gift in this season. In the name of Jesus. You may please be seated. So the king said, where is he? He said, it's in nothing. They say he's in Lodabar. They say he's in the backside of the line. He's at the end of the line. You know, God knows how to bring people from the end of the line and bring them to the front of the line. Will I speak over somebody? Can I speak over somebody this evening? From the end of that line, you come to the front in the name of Jesus. Oh, they may say there are many people to interview. God can take you from the end of the line and put you in the front of the line. In the name of Jesus. God knows how to do it. I was still talking with my mom in love, this evening. And I was telling her of the experience that we had at immigrations when we were coming to the United States in Nigeria. We had been frustrated. God help Nigeria. Amen. If you are a government official, you watch this later on. Speak to your people in Nigeria. They need laying on of hands. And some of it is like slap. But you know, they are frustrated or some unnecessary frustration, you know, because we are traveling. And then we got to this customs place. And somebody came and said, ah, pastor, oh, God bless you. I was like, which pastor? I'm like, me in Nigeria, how will you? He said, God bless. He said, you have been a blessing to me. I was looking around like, which pastor are you talking to? He said, every morning. Then I just kept quiet. I'm like, let this guy keep talking. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe it's the live stream thing. Every morning, something, you bless me. I can't leave the house. I'm like, this guy was a God. Now he says everything he wanted to say. And interestingly, he was wrong. It wasn't me. He was mistaking me for somebody else. But for some reason, he didn't still take that. He said, yeah, but since you're a pastor, it's okay. You are my person. And he takes us. And some of the other troublesome people that we should have met, the guy just takes us and says, this is my pastor. And then, in fact, they told my wife, my kids, that they should just go. The other guy took the passport and they were sorting out things. And he said, this is my pastor. And I go, he takes me somewhere, he does everything for me. And then when I'm done, because I thought
That's how all these people that just do these things, because when I found out that he mistook me for somebody, in my mind I'm like, maybe it was even a drama. Maybe this guy just planned everything. I'm like, these guys are smart. Look at this. This is the newest scam. Like, I'm like, this is another one. Oh, that the guy just give like, oh, I know you. And then I found out that he doesn't know me. I'm like, okay, here we go. I wonder how much this is going to cost. So as he finished all the good gesture, I bring out my wallet. I wanted to give him money. He said, no. I was shocked. He said, no. He said, Pastor, this is my number. Anytime you are coming to Nigeria or anytime any of your people, just call me. I'm here. I'll make sure I take care of them. Say, wow. You know, like, is this really happening? The guy did not take the money, but I believe God sent that guy there. He took me from what I was supposed to be, the back of the line. He took me to the front of the line. I see God doing that for somebody in this season. In the name of Jesus. If you are that person, your amen should show it. So God can take people from Lodibar, from nothing. Things are not happening for you. Uneventful, dry, boring. Your home is uneventful. Sometimes accounts can be uneventful. Dry accounts. The account is always in a particular digit, you know, in the tens or in the hundreds or even in the thousands. Who told you the account cannot be in the millions? Am I speaking to somebody this evening? I said, who told you that the accounts cannot be in the millions? Who told you that every time you write a check, it has to be the last check that you can write from that account? Who told you that you can't write a check and when you write the check, the money that is still remaining in the account will be much more than the check? In fact, you can't finish writing the check before another replenishment of money coming. Am I speaking to somebody like that this evening? I say God is moving you from Lodibar to something in the name of Jesus. All right, let me wrap it up tonight. Verse 7. What happened? Is this place getting warmer? By the reason of some hands. Jesus is Lord. Verse 7. So the Bible says, don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness. What is supposed to snuff out the life of you will push you into the realm of kindness. Yeah. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't be afraid. Surely you will experience kindness. It's a word for somebody. Say, don't be afraid. You will experience kindness. There are some people that are, there's something in the next month, there's an appointment and you're already petrified. You're already scared. You are wondering what you are going to experience. Let me tell that person, say, don't be afraid. You will surely experience kindness. But David said, this kindness is coming because of Jonathan. This kindness is for Jonathan's sake. The word Jonathan is Jehovah Nathan. Amen. I should know that very well, right? Because of the Nathan part. So the word Jonathan means Jehovah gives. That is simply another version of Jehovah saves. Because there is no giving or there is no saving without giving. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So the giving of Jesus was the saving of the world. So Jonathan, in essence, is a type of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. So God is saying here that I'm going to show you kindness because of Jesus. I'm not going to show you kindness because of you, because if we were to use your own merit, the kindness will not be good. You don't merit the kindness, but I will show you kindness because of Jesus. Will you tell yourself, say, I receive kindness on the merit of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please, every time you have to deal with God, don't deal on your own merit. Even if you think you've merited something. Never pray prayers like this. Lord, I've been coming to church. Please, wait, don't do that. There are people that have been in church longer than you. Some people have been giving. Please, don't do that. Because if you want to receive anything from God, if you go on your merit, if you go on the merit of what you have done and not done, you will still fall short. But if you go on the merit of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that merit is, the credit of Jesus is balanced. I don't know a perfect credit score, but Jesus has a perfect credit score with God. He has a perfect credit score. His credit score is not low. You can receive anything on the credit of Jesus. So when you go to God, go on the credit of Jesus. Will somebody say, I go on the credit of Jesus.
So we receive the blessings of God, not on our own merit, but on the merit of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, the Bible says, all the promises of God are already yes in Jesus. They're already yes. The promises of God, God does not need to say yes. Once you make sure you find the promise in Jesus, you have a yes. You have the check has already been signed. You don't need to say, God, please, can you say? No. If you can find it in Jesus, it's already yes. So that's why when you want to approach God, when you want to deal with God, in fact, that's why Jesus said, when you want to pray, pray in my name. You know what that means? It's a legal term. When you want to sign the check, you can't sign it as you are not a signatory of the account per se. You don't. Jesus is really the owner of the account. Let him make sure his signature is on it. If his signature is on that check, he's a yes, sir. He's a yes, sir. And I know that somebody is getting a yes in this season in the name of Jesus. So if everything finds his yes in Jesus, all you and I need to do to enjoy the fullness of God, to move from nothing to something, is for us to align to Jesus. It's for us to make sure that we are just standing in tandem with Jesus. It's for us to make sure that when Jesus sees us, he's not seeing us, he's seeing Jesus. Because we are aligned to Jesus. We are not standing away from Jesus. We are not walking afar from Jesus. We are not walking on our own and letting Jesus be on that side. We are walking in tandem with Jesus. In fact, we are living in him and doing like what Acts chapter number 26 says, that in him we move and in him we have our being. Because if you do that, you have all that you want. You move from nothing. You move to something. That's why alignment with Jesus helps you to receive the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, for in Jesus dwells the fullness of God bodily. So everything, the fullness of God is in Jesus. So if you want anything full, if you want to move from nothing to something, it's in Jesus. So in Jesus dwells every fullness of God. So if I can be in Jesus, I will not be in nothing. I will have something because in him dwells the fullness. The fullness means everything God is in Jesus. The fullness means that God, Jesus is God in one package. When you get Jesus, you get everything. Amen. When you get Jesus, you get everything. Amen. So when you get Jesus, you don't need any other thing. In him is the fullness of God bodily. I've heard the story before. I don't know if you have heard a version of it. When they said, a king wanted to give away the daughter. And he said that there were two options. That if some people pass a particular challenge, they will get some gifts. And the remaining gift, they will give to the daughter. And... But if you pass the challenge to a particular level, you can determine what you want. Instead of, you can determine whatever you want to choose as part of the gifts. So somebody did the challenge and did it pretty well, and they asked him, what did he want? Because the king had said, I will give you any gift you want, and the remaining gift I will give to the daughter. This person now said, I don't want any gift. I just want the daughter. You just make sure you give all the gift to the daughter. But me, I want the daughter. So, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to get the gift. If you get the daughter, you get all the gifts. You don't need the gift. If you get the son, the Jesus, you get all the gifts. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight, that if we align to this Jesus, we get the fullness of God. I believe in this season, you begin to enjoy the fullness of God. In the name of Jesus. So how do we align quickly? I round up with this. Number one, we align in our way of life. We align in our way of life. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, please, let's stop everything now. We are still doing the word of God. Let's keep everything. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? What's the answer? They cannot. Two cannot walk together except they agree. So if we want to enjoy the fullness of God in Jesus, we have to agree with him. our life has to agree with him. We cannot live like we own ourselves and enjoy the fullness of him. No, you have to live as he owns you. Remember, if you get the Son, you get everything. So you have to make sure that you are completely aligned to him. You are completely in agreement with him. I like what 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 says. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you live? Or in another way, since every fullness is going to find expression in Jesus, how should you live? You should live in such a way that your life will align to Jesus. And that's my challenge to you tonight. Align your way of life to him. Align your way of life to him. Sometimes many of us, we want to practice only the principle of Christ. We don't want to align ourselves to the person of Christ. The person of Christ will really make his principles to work for us. The person of Christ. And the person of Christ demands that we align our way of life. Not the other way, that he aligns the way of life. We align our way of life to his way of life. We also must align our communications. We must order our conversation aright. If you want to enjoy the fullness of God that is in Jesus, what you say must tally with what he is saying. Your words must align with him. I was very excited yesterday when somebody, we were going on a birthday something, and somebody was saying something about her grandchild. Oh, that the girl is a very troublesome girl. Oh, you people are going to have a hard time. And some people just reacted to that and said, that's a bad confession. I said, that's good. Because people are conscious of words that don't align with what they want to experience. But sometimes people are not conscious. They are saying anything. They are not aligning their conversation aright. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, John 5:30, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. What I hear is what I do. He says, I cannot do anything by myself. I align myself to hear what he's saying, and I say what he's saying. So if I align my communication with him, if I make sure that my communication is in sync with his own communication, or what he's saying, I will have the fullness. I will have the fullness. So we align our communication. Ezekiel 37 verse 37, the Bible says, I spoke as I was commanded. So if I align my conversation with him, I will enjoy the fullness. And finally, this evening, we need to also align our expectations with his. We need to align our expectations with it. How do you move from nothing to something? You must align your expectation with his expectations. You cannot expect something different from what he's expecting for you and you see the fullness of God. No, you must bring, there must be an alignment of your expectation with his expectation. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 4, Psalm 37 and verse 4, he said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It means that begin to hang out with God, and as you hang out more with him, as you align yourself with him, you begin to think like him so much that what you desire is what he is desiring. Therefore, what you desire, you will get it. Because sometimes when people read that scripture, they just say, oh, I just think anything, I just desire anything and I get it. No, it says delight yourself in the Lord. Be so very used to him so that what you delight is what he's delighting. And when you now delight what he's delighting, your decision shall not be cut short. I speak concerning somebody. You are moving from nothing to something. Yeah. I say you are moving from nothing to something. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Will you stand to your feet and say it loud and clear again? Say, I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. I'm a sign. I'm a wonder to my world. In the name of Jesus.